Welcome to the AI in Automotive podcast, where we speak to interesting people doing interesting things around artificial intelligence and machine learning in the automotive and mobility industries. I am Jayesh Jagasia. Data and technology are great levelers. The power of data and AI is redrawing the automotive industry landscape, dramatically altering relationships and equations between OEMs and their suppliers. AI is also creating an entirely new generation of industry players, from startups to consumer electronics giants. What does this mean for traditional players in the industry? How does the rise of AI and related technologies change the equation between car makers and their suppliers? How will traditional players compete with the Googles and Amazons of the world in the race to attract high-quality tech talent? What does the future of car ownership look like in the age of data? I sat down for a conversation with Paul Eichenberg to look for answers to some of these questions. Paul is an auto industry veteran. He spent about 25 years working with Fortune 500 automotive suppliers. He manages his own automotive consulting firm, Paul Eichenberg Strategic Consulting. His clients include hedge funds, investment banks, private equity investors, and automotive suppliers. Paul also sits on the advisory board of Hayden AI, an innovative company that is using AI technologies to make our cities smarter and safer. Paul joined me from Detroit. Welcome to part one of a two-part conversation. Welcome to the show, Paul. It's great to have you with us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Paul, let's start off talking a little bit about you, your background, and your interests for the benefit of our listeners.
Okay. I've spent 25 years in the automotive industry with a number of Fortune 500 automotive suppliers. Most notably, I spent 8 years as the vice president of corporate development and strategy for Magna Powertrain and Magna Electronics. Since leaving the organization, I've started my own automotive consultancy, where I have a team of consultants and we work with clients to develop strategies dealing with technology disruption and how technology disruption will impact their businesses going forward. So as a result of that experience, we've gotten involved a lot in artificial intelligence, machine learning, deep learning, a lot of machine vision type of systems. And all that stems back to my time with Magna Electronics, which we were really focused on camera systems for ADAS and autonomous vehicles. So that's a brief introduction. One other thing I would add is today I'm on the advisory board of an organization by the name of Hayden AI, which is a leading player in the artificial intelligence space, which leverages a lot of these technologies. And we can talk about that further later on in our conversation.
That's fantastic, Paul. That's a really, really interesting background. Tell me, way back when Google was new to the world and we started using search engines to look for what we were looking for online, and then from there it grew into this whole host of products, and then we discovered that, you know, there's this massive data-powered machine learning, artificial intelligence engine behind everything Google does. Did you, sitting in the automotive industry, ever think that all of this would be relevant for the work that we do in the industry at all?
Well, I think for me, the real exposure came in 2010 when I started working with Magna Electronics. I was responsible for integrating Magna Electronics into Magna Powertrain. And really the assignment started out, you know, how are we going to carve up Magna Electronics and move the EV components into Magna Powertrain and move other components into other areas of Magna? But what was left was just this really interesting camera business. And interesting part of this was the machine vision capability that was being developed between Magna and Mobileye. And, you know, I would say Mobileye has really been at the forefront of that frontier, developing the vision algorithms that organizations like Magna and ZF and a number of suppliers use today. But that was the forefront of all this activity. And what Mobileye built was the ability to use machine vision capabilities to start to identify objects and classify objects for advanced driver assistance systems to do things like automatic emergency braking, to really the forefront of the autonomous driving technology. And just to give you an idea of the value of Mobileye, back in 2010, 2011, we would have valued Mobileye as a company back then as a $400 million business. By 2014, when Mobileye went public on the New York Stock Exchange, it raised $4 billion in its initial public offering. And then, of course, back in 2017, Intel bought the business for $15.2 billion. And I would say Mobileye continues to be really at the forefront of machine vision and really at the forefront of the future of the automotive industry. So I would say back in 2010, would I have expected the ramp, the pace of change, and all the novel ways that the technology is being used today? The simple answer is no. It's been an incredible acceleration of technology that I don't think anybody would have expected.
What would you and I give to go back to 2010 and buy a few shares in Mobileye?
Yes, absolutely.
Let's talk about some areas where artificial intelligence and machine learning are starting to make a big impact with everything we do around cars and vans and commercial vehicles and mobility. You made a reference to ADAS systems, cameras and radars and LIDARs. If you could, in your mind, sort of box it into five or six large areas of the business that these technologies will have a transformative or disruptive effect in, what would those five or six areas be?
Well, actually, I think, first of all, the disruptive impact of this is going to be around autonomous driving. I think, first and foremost, you have to recognize that. You know, if you think about these systems, just as I was talking about Mobileye, you know, you start to see the ability to identify objects, classify objects. This is really where the technology starts. And as I talked about, ADAS systems, you know, emergency braking, lane changing, all of this leverages that kind of machine learning capability or machine vision capability from these type of systems. But then it very quickly moves into the autonomous driving. I think whether you look at how Tesla is developing a strategy to deal with their autonomous driving, or you look at Google, which have very different strategies, but the intention is the same, which is to be able to provide an environment in which the car provides a much safer driving environment and can provide full autonomous driving. So I think that's a second area that you have. The third area that I think we're just really starting to scratch the surface around is localization data. So again, whether you're using camera radar or you're using LIDAR and maps to provide localization, so the car always knows where it's at in relationship to buildings, stop signs, you know, where it fits in the lane. All of these sensors have that ability to localize the vehicle so that the vehicle understands exactly where it is, where it should be, where the free space is. I think this localization data is really interesting because obviously it's an enabler of this type of autonomous driving, but it also is then being used to develop three-dimensional maps, it's being used for a whole host of purposes when it comes to city planning and driving smart city initiatives and so on, even to the point then where this data is being collected, and this is probably the fourth area that I talk about, is really what Tesla is doing. So Tesla, of course, has developed a large artificial intelligence system pulling data from vehicles every night through, you know, wireless routers as people look for updates, but provide updates to Tesla. And through that data, what is Tesla doing? Is now offering insurance services. So Tesla believes that they can offer individuals a 30% discount when it comes to insurance as a result of having much better data than any insurance carrier can. Specifically, instead of looking at demographic information, where do you live? What's your economic class? These type of things to determine your driving behavior. Now Tesla is able to pull data directly from the vehicle and understand your driving behavior. And as a result, they have much better data to assign risk to you and your vehicle, along with they understand that a car that drives in an autonomous mode is 6 times less likely to be involved in an accident. So they're also making a bet on the technology. So as a result of this, this data that's being collected is another huge tool that will be used for, you know, leveraging this type of technology. So then the fifth area that I would talk about is with the company that I'm associated with today, Hayden AI. So Hayden AI is taking, you know, LiDAR, camera, radar data that people opt into. So you as a consumer would opt into this and you would allow data to be used from your vehicle to film things like traffic accidents. It could be used to identify people who illegally pass a school bus when it's stopped. It could be used for other traffic violations or identifying potential criminals. This technology, along with smart city initiatives, or I should say safe city initiatives, could combine together to provide a platform for municipalities, police forces, to basically, you know, provide safer environments for communities. So as a result, there are a number of different ways that this technology will be leveraged. And these are just a few examples that come to the top of my mind.
So, you know, the old cliche that I kept hearing for so many years was data is the new oil. Yes. And we are living it now. The value that this data carries is so huge and so powerful. But have traditional OEMs, suppliers, have they woken up to this reality of the value that data carries? And have they woken up too late?
Well, actually, I would say for me, a year ago, we did a project with a gentleman who is a VP of a very large European OEM who is in charge of their tech scouting. And basically what he told me is he said that many executives in his organization believe that data is the future of the automotive industry. And, you know, there are theories there, not necessarily with his organization, but in the OEM community, that there could be a point at which data becomes the future of that model, and that data at times could be more valuable as far as a revenue stream than the vehicle itself. So we were involved in a study actually for a supplier in this area. And based on the research that we did, it's very easy to get to the point where the value of that data for the OEMs could be in the range of $5,000 to $6,000 per vehicle. So if you think of it as a $5,000 revenue benefit to the OEM, for an OEM like VW, $5,000 per vehicle is a $60 billion business, based on them producing 12 million vehicles globally. So if you start to look at that, I think this shows you that the incentive for the OEMs is great. And we have done a lot of work in this. And what we see is as OEMs start to assess data, what we see are certain strategies where OEMs want to own the data. And there's OEMs like General Motors, for instance, like Tesla, that see it so critical to the future of their business model that they're going to own the data. I think there's other OEMs like Ford Motor Company that maybe is a lagger when it comes to that, where they're just trying to figure out what their data strategy is going to be. But yet they acknowledge already that they want to own that data. And then there's OEMs, let's say like Renault or Nissan, that, you know what, we don't want to own the data, but we want to be working with suppliers like Mobileye or like Aptiv or like Bosch that will own the data, will create revenue streams from the data, and then will give us savings as a result of having access to that valuable data. So as a result, there is no doubt oil or data is the new oil of the automotive industry, and it's well understood by many, many OEMs. And they're all at varying stages of their strategy development.
That's really, really interesting. And especially, I mean, the numbers are mind-boggling, aren't they? If the value placed on data is $5,000 or $6,000 a vehicle for a manufacturer like General Motors or Volkswagen that makes 10 to 12 million vehicles, cars a year, that's a non-trivial amount of money.
Well, let me add one more example to that. And that's this, is if you look at an organization like Mobileye, and let's say today Mobileye sells their IQ chip, which is basically their vision algorithm. It goes on 60% of the vehicles produced globally that have these vision capabilities. They're a large market share leader, so they're a great source of data from multiple OEMs. But let's say that chip sells for $40. In the case of many OEMs, what they're giving is a $15 to $20 discount to the OEM for the OEM to allow Mobileye to use that data. So as a result, think about what that does for Mobileye, or think about what that does for a company like Aptiv or Bosch, who are gathering that same data from radar systems. That data has uses to third parties, for instance, for high-definition maps. So that data could be sold to HERE, to TomTom, who are part of subscription services. And what I would argue to you is the fees that they're getting from those third parties for these type of map subscription services is just scratching the surface of the possibility of the uses of that data. And I would argue that this is a big part of the changing model, because now it's not just selling for suppliers. It's not just selling technology to vehicles, but it's ultimately finding other revenue streams that create a whole new competitive environment. So what we're starting to see is real disruption in the supplier model as a result of not just making a technology sale, but really creating these reoccurring revenue streams that is really going to significantly change the dynamics of the supplier industry. So these are just a few examples of data's use within vehicles today.
Paul, with all these new names that we've started to hear in the automotive industry that, you know, 10, 12, 8 years back didn't exist or just didn't command the mental bandwidth that they do today, what sort of new players do you see cropping up around the landscape that traditional automotive industry participants, OEMs, tier one, tier two suppliers will now start having to compete with and start having to deal with?
Well, actually, I think I could classify this in a couple of ways. First of all, I think, you know, when we talk about these changes in the automotive industry, I think one huge driver of change is electrification. So again, really autonomous vehicles beg to be electrified vehicles. So the first area I'd talk about as far as new entrants when it comes to the industry is around electrified vehicles. And what I would tell you is this is going to be heavily dominated by the suppliers from the consumer industrial electronics businesses that are based in Asia. So this is companies like LG, Samsung, Toshiba, Panasonic, along with other new entrants like CATL, BYD. These are companies that are really focused around lithium-ion battery technology, but they're using their electronic scale to really create a competitive position. So one example I'd use is the Chevy Bolt. The Chevy Bolt, which is a new battery electric vehicle by Chevy, 56% of the purchased content for the vehicle comes from LG. And how does LG, you know, get the opportunity to supply not only the battery, but the electric motor, all of the power electronics, which includes the inverter, the DC-DC converter, the charger, along with even the semiconductors that go into the infotainment system? How does the supplier do that? Well, basically, they leverage the $5 billion investment that they make on behalf of the OEM to put the battery supply in place at a competitive price so that GM has a strong economic business case when it comes to this technology. So these are a series of new entrants that will really change the landscape of the industry. And for
So Paul, before you go to your second category, I want to stop you there because that statistic is absolutely staggering. 56%, you said.
Yep.
I mean, it's not the Chevy Bolt really, then it's the Chevy Panasonic Bolt or the Chevy LG Bolt or something.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, and I would use another example is if you look at Panasonic. So Panasonic is in a well-understood JV with Tesla. But Tesla is not the only OEM that they're working with. They're working with European OEMs. They're also working in a consortium with Toyota, Mazda, Honda, I believe is part of that consortium. So basically what you have is you have this entrance that's coming from these large industrial and consumer electronics companies. Mm. And what they have and what they bring, which is really advantageous to the OEMs, is they bring a foundation and they bring electronic scale, which is really important for the industry. And as a result of bringing that scale to the industry, they offer a new type of competitiveness for the OEMs. This is what's really going to drive the competitiveness of electrified vehicles and also then enable things like autonomous vehicles and connected vehicles. But at the same time, I think this is what's got to be appreciated. Is then it allows the OEMs to move from where the core of the engineering that they put into the vehicle today is around the powertrain and optimization of that mechanical system, whether it's the engine and transmission, to the point where they can focus on other things and they can start to transform their workforce to do things like develop these autonomous vehicles and develop software for autonomous vehicles. And start focusing on gathering data in creating these new revenue streams, even to the point where they can move into other areas of the value chain of the transportation industry, such as moving into the areas of doing robo-taxis. So for organizations like Argo and Cruise, which have been acquired by Ford and General Motors, these start to move into the areas where they're going to be into robo-taxis. They can start to move into the areas like Tesla has from a standpoint of being able to move into the insurance business. So what you're starting to see is by electrification is a huge enabler of this technology change. It's a huge enabler to autonomous. It's a huge enabler to connected. It's a huge enabler of shared mobility. And that new business model is where OEMs are very aggressively moving towards. So if we use just General Motors as an example, look at the large acquisitions that they've done over the past, or large investments they've made over the past couple of years. They've invested in Cruise. So they spent $1 billion for Cruise. Now it's valued at somewhere around $18 to $19 billion. But this is their autonomous vehicle driving unit for level four vehicles, which is where they're going to focus their robo-taxi development and fleet. They've invested in Maven, you know, a ride-sharing business. They've invested in Lyft as a competitive situation to Uber. So if you start to look at this, these strategic investments that an organization like GM is making, along with starting to outsource the EV components to organizations like LG, this sends a significant signal as far as the future value that they see in the automotive value stream. And they're trying to understand how do they participate and how do they win in that space. So again, new entrants into this, it's those consumer electronics and industrial electronics companies. But in addition to that, then you start getting the autonomous vehicle space. What I would say to you, as far as new entrants, just take the LiDAR space. So LiDAR systems to be able to be a key sensor for gathering data from the road environment. And what makes LiDAR so special is it really produces a very unique 3D image and 3D point cloud, which is very different from the technology that you get from radar or cam systems. Plus, it's great in inclement weather. So LiDAR systems, if I just use that as an example, there are over 50 startups in the LiDAR space in California alone. When you take the startups out of Israel, when you take the startups out of Europe, out of China, out of the rest of Asia, you've got easily 70 startups that are trying to provide LiDAR systems for the automotive industry. So when you start to look at this, here's a whole group of new entrants that are coming to the industry that the OEMs are trying to figure out, how do we work with these organizations and how do we further develop this technology? So as a result, I think what you're seeing is you're seeing startups there, you're seeing these type of organizations that are emerging as another example. And then the third example I'd use are sort of the spin-offs that are starting to take place in the industry when it comes to organizations that are really tier one organizations that are spinning off other big tiered suppliers to really just focus on autonomous vehicles. And the two prime examples of that are Aptiv, which spun out of Delphi Technologies and was basically the electronics and autonomous or active safety systems out of Delphi organization, and it's now just a pure autonomous vehicle supplier. And then the other one is Veoneer, which is a spin out of Autoliv. So Autoliv was doing airbags and seatbelts and other safety systems. What comes out of that is the active safety systems, again, focused on providing sensors like camera, LiDAR, radar, software systems, other technologies like driver monitoring systems. So all these things were sort of within the active safety environment within Autoliv, that spun off into Veoneer, which is now a publicly traded company, which is really at the forefront of these technologies. So as a result, these are new spinoffs, but new entrants really to this environment from a standpoint of new names. And these are just a few examples of the type of new entrants that we're going to see in the automotive industry.
My name is Jayesh Jagasia, and I host the AI in Automotive podcast. This is a platform for conversations about the rapidly growing role of AI in the automotive and mobility industries. Join me as I host experts in the domain to learn more about how AI is shaping our future. Look for the AI in Automotive podcast wherever you get your podcasts.